It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a mathematician brings together geometry, law, and political science to take on partisan redistricting. We'll find out more. First, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments for a Wisconsin case that could have a nationwide impact. The case looks at the lengths lawmakers can go to when redrawing district lines for partisan advantage. Wisconsin Democrats argue that the last time districts were redrawn in the state, they were extremely skewed in Republicans' favor, and it should be considered unconstitutional. The court is reported to be divided on that matter as of right now. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is in Washington, D.C., covering this case. Sean, how's it going?
It's going well, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
So taking a look at what you've seen so far, give us a general sense of what you've heard today.
So what we heard today is kind of what we suspected, I guess, going into arguments. And you know, I should say that attorneys always caution against reading too much into what justices say from the bench, that it is their job in that brief 1 hour oral argument window to be skeptical, to get their questions out of the way. You know, they have that very small period of time in which to do so. That said, the questions and statements that you heard from justices on the U.S. Supreme Court today seem to reinforce kind of where we thought they might be when it comes to whether or not the U.S. Supreme Court can strike down a legislative map as a partisan gerrymander. That is, whether or not the court can say that a political party in Wisconsin, it was Republicans, drew a map that was so partisan that it violated the constitutional rights of the other party, in this case, the Democrats, in the process.
Now, based on the remarks that the justices have made today, it sounds as though several justices leaning in favor of a decision toward the plaintiffs, others looking at it as something that hasn't been fully ironed out. Justice Neil Gorsuch on that side, and in the middle, we think maybe Justice Kennedy. Can you lay out the landscape there with the justices?
Sure. So there are 9 justices on the court, and as of right now, we have a split between 5 justices who were nominated by Republican presidents, 4 justices who were nominated by Democratic presidents. And take the justices who were nominated by Democrats first. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, they all sounded in their remarks as though they were open to striking down this map. Ginsburg said at one point they, Republicans, achieved the map that was the most partisan, and it worked. She said it exceeded expectations. She questioned what would it mean for democracy if the court doesn't get involved in striking down partisan gerrymandering cases or get involved in partisan gerrymandering claims if people start to think that, you know, that the sacred vote doesn't mean all that much because who's going to win is, laid out when they draw the district lines. On the other side of the court, you had conservative justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Justice Samuel Alito, Justice Neil Gorsuch, all sounded skeptical that the Supreme Court should wade into an issue like this. Roberts in particular said that if the court does this, then you're going to see case after case brought to justices based on the idea that there was a partisan gerrymander and that the court's going to be asked to take sides, that they're going to have to side with the Democrats or the Republicans. And even if they base those decisions on math and social science, that the average person on the street's going to say that the court sided with the Republicans or the Democrats. And Roberts said that's going to cause some serious harm to the status and integrity of the court in the eyes of the country.
Now, Sean, there have been challenges to redistricting efforts before. What makes this case unique?
In a way, this is kind of the latest go-round. I mean, it's unique because 13 years have passed since the last redistricting case. And in that last go-around, you had a similar ideological split on the court, 5-4. You had Justice Anthony Kennedy in the middle, who we didn't talk about just now, but Justice Anthony Kennedy was seen as the swing vote in 2004. He is seen as the swing vote today. And in 2004, he wrote that, he wasn't ready to strike down that particular map. It was a Pennsylvania case based on a partisan gerrymandering claim, but that gerrymandering was a serious issue and that a future court should be open to that kind of a verdict if they could come up with a workable metric, you know, a consistent way to measure these things and a bright line measure so that we know, so that courts know, so that legislators know when they've crossed that line and become too partisan and violated constitutional rights of the other party. Kennedy sits in the middle of, on this court. He didn't say much today. He asked some questions. He was the first to ask questions, actually. But they involved standing. They involved, you know, whether or not the case would be viewed differently if it were more of a First Amendment case versus a 14th Amendment case, you know, an equal protection case versus a free speech case. He asked about, you know, hypotheticals about whether or not plaintiffs would have standing if, you know, the right to do partisan gerrymanders was written into state constitutions or state laws. You know, maybe the attorneys heard something in there that told them, aha, we know where Kennedy's headed with this. But it seemed like he was kind of playing his cards close to his vest.
We're talking with Sean Johnson right now, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief in Washington, D.C. right now, looking at the Wisconsin redistricting case that's being heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. And Sean, you said that Justice Kennedy has seemed to suggest that he's willing to consider a reliable metric about whether or not a district has has undergone partisan redistricting. Has a metric like that been presented to the court yet?
They've got a range of options in front of them. So in the past, when we've talked about this case, we've talked a lot about this new metric that was developed, kind of with this case in mind, called the efficiency gap. And the efficiency gap measures wasted votes. That is, you know, when Democrats, we'll use a Wisconsin case, for example, in a hypothetical Wisconsin district. If Democrats win 80% of the vote in a strongly Democratic district, they're wasting a lot of those votes. Put that in quotations, wasting a lot of those votes because those votes are not contributing to them winning that seat. They voted more than they needed to for that seat. Or if they come up short in a more competitive race, They wasted those votes. Essentially, what the efficiency gap does is looks at those, you know, wasted votes for both parties, compares it to the statewide vote total, and comes up with a number. And that's supposed to be a way to consistently compare maps, not only current in the United States, but over the past several decades. And by that metric, Wisconsin had one of the most partisan gerrymanders of the last 40 years. Now, plaintiffs are not saying that is the be-all, end-all of tests, as, you know, we talk about this case here today. They're now kind of taking the approach that the court could approach this differently and ask different questions and use different metrics to decide whether or not a map is partisan or too partisan. That kind of gets at the heart of this issue. You know, the court is looking for that one consistent measure. Plaintiffs are saying we have a bunch now, and, you know, this is really refined social science now. Critics, and it sounds like critics on the Supreme Court are saying, you know, you're making it a bit confusing, a bit obscure. How are people supposed to know? Justice Gorsuch compared it to a secret steak rub, where only he knows the ingredients and they might change from time to time. So that's kind of where we're at. The court's still trying to decide whether it can have that consistent measure. Some of the justices are hinting they found it. Some are saying not so much.
And Sean, this is being billed as a landmark case. What nationwide implications could it have?
What could happen if the plaintiffs prevail in this case, in the Wisconsin case? First, for Wisconsin, it's going to mean we're going to have likely a more competitive map, a map that has the potential to elect more Democrats and fewer Republicans. Nationally, you would see lawsuits like this repeated in other states that had, you know, single party control, that had arguably partisan gerrymanders. They would try their hand at a partisan gerrymandering claim like what happened in Wisconsin, and you could see other maps potentially overturned. The flip side of that is if the Supreme Court says, once again, look, this is a serious problem, but courts can't get involved in this. We can't get involved in this case. We're going to uphold Wisconsin's map, and we're not going to get involved in partisan gerrymandering cases. Plaintiffs say that would send a message around the country that, you know, legislatures can do what they want when it comes to this, and that the gerrymanders of today are not your father's gerrymanders. They're more sophisticated. They're more driven by math and computers and can get more precise. And that in the year 2020, after, you know, when the next round of redistricting comes around, that you'll see gerrymanders like you've never seen before in the U.S. and a more partisan country.
And Sean, as we wrap up, what's next?
What's next is we wait, and we're not sure how long we're going to wait. Court watchers say you can expect the court will have a decision by the end of its, you know, this argument period. It'd be in by the end of June. But they could decide before that. They could potentially decide after that. But we wait to see, you know, where Justice Kennedy is. We've been waiting for, I guess, 13 years. People who watch this issue have been wondering, has he changed? What that means for Wisconsin's 2018 elections, we don't know. Even if plaintiffs prevailed, there's a possibility that Wisconsin's map would remain in place for November of 2018.
Yeah, June potentially a long way off, so some waiting to do for us. Sean, thanks
lots of shows about this.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That was Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. He joined us from Washington, D.C. to talk about the Wisconsin redistricting case that's being heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. Coming up, our guest is taking on the issue of partisan redistricting with geometry. Stay with us here on Central Time.